Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschatati Shatarne Balarama Acharya Prabhu. I'm going to be reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, Text 16, if you want to find that verse. 6, 15, 16. Do you have it in Russian on your phone? 6, 15, 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, Text 16. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tasmad yuvang gramya pashur mama murha deya prabhu andhe tamasi magnasya jnana deepa udiryatam. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. This is Maharaj Chitraketu speaking to Narad Muni and Parvat Muni. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, Tasmad gurung prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge to eradicate the darkness of ignorance is eligible to approach a guru or spiritual master. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tad vijnanartham. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples, and many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manumapi shachiputram atra swarupam rupam tasya gajamurupurim maturim goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Vigna Vinashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I thought to speak on this verse and purport today as an initiation ceremony is scheduled for shortly after this talk. I'd like to remind those who are getting initiated, if it's not already been communicated to you, that men should have shaved heads with a shikha, and women should have their hair parted in the middle, braided at the back, and covered. And everyone should have Vaishnav tilak on properly. If you're not sure, then you can check. Like to check that? Like to check. Okay. Can you check women? They should have, if they're married, they should have sindoor also. In the middle, parting, all these things. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he concludes the purport with the words, true Guru. We all have many gurus. In the sense that guru can be considered simply an elder person. Just by virtue of being born, we get a guru. According to Shastra, the first guru is the mother. We have teachers. People who we look up to. And in the present age, people look up to TV personalities, YouTube and social media personalities, sports stars. They look up to them as if they're great people. So in the very broadest sense of the term, we can ascribe the word guru to anyone we look up to. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, based on the statement of Chitraketu, that the real guru, the true guru, is one who gives the jnana deepa, the light of knowledge, by which we can come out of the andhe tamasi, and other also stated in this verse, the darkness of ignorance. People look up to gurus. It may be some social media influencer, father, mother, elder brother. It used to be in Indian culture, following the example of Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, to look up to the elder brother, and that culture was still going on, at least until recently, in Central Asia. Anyone here from Central Asia? No. Russian speakers, but none from Central Asia. That culture was going on. So So we look up to them, and we should be grateful to them for what they've given. But at least with school teachers, we usually move on and we don't see them again. Is anyone here who's not a school child in contact with their school teachers? Those have been to Gurukul, presumably. But otherwise, you leave school and that's it, finished. I never went back to the school I was so-called educated in, nor did I have any contact with the school teachers. So, you leave them behind. You go in the secular school system, you go from the beginning school for young children, then to another school for older children. Then you may go to college, and each time you leave behind the teachers and you go on to someone who can give you a better understanding. When you first go to school, you learn 1 + 1 = 2. And that remains true even when you're doing university mathematics. Without having learned that 1 + 1 = 2 and a lot more, you can't go on to university mathematics. You have to have the basic things in order. But those teachers who can just teach the basic things, although it's essential, we have to move on. And what about in spiritual knowledge? This phrase, spiritual knowledge, is well accepted among Indians. Tattva jnana, adhyatmik jnana, these terms are there, paramarthik jnana. But in the Western world, the idea of spiritual knowledge seems to be a very strange idea, because spirituality, the very concept of anything being spiritual, seems to be, according to the mundane scientific outlook in which we're all brainwashed in the schools, according to that, any idea of any spiritual reality is just imagination. Knowledge means that which we gather from our senses and then we make theories about it based on that. So the idea of spiritual knowledge is anathema to mundane, what are they called? Materialists, physicalists. Well, that's the very reason we should go to a guru, because he teaches that, a true guru teaches that which is beyond our ability to understand simply by any mundane method. We learn how to speak and read and write basic grammar. It's very useful. Even in spiritual knowledge, it's communicated through words, but not only through words. It requires Krishna's mercy also. But if we hadn't had a basic education in language and how to think, there's no department, there's no subject in school called how to think. But the methods of teaching, they automatically include how to understand various topics. So this is useful in spiritual life also. It's not like this idea, there's some of Shakti part, where you guru just touches the disciple or just shows his hand and the disciple becomes as if electrified. It's not like that. The guru who gives spiritual knowledge is the one who is to be recognized as the true guru. Spiritual knowledge begins by discussing material knowledge, because the first thing we have to understand is that material life is miserable, and we as spiritual living beings are not a material product. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna teaches about the nature of the spiritual living being by comparing to the material entities. Avinashi tu tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam. Vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartam arahati. Krishna says that the spirit soul is by nature indestructible and non-declining, non-expending. Whereas the material body is certain to die. We first of all learn about spirit in relation to matter. Now he's put Tulsi there, but below me. He needs a guru to teach him all these different things. Spiritual knowledge culminates in understanding I am an eternal servant of Krishna. And then, what is our relationship with Krishna? The idea of having a guru is, by the influence of Kali Yuga, much misunderstood, because there are so many people setting themselves up as gurus who attract so-called disciples. So-called gurus attract so-called disciples. But if one is actually serious to understand spiritual knowledge and spiritual life, he should have some idea of what he's looking for. If you want to buy a diamond, you should have some preliminary knowledge so that you don't get cheated by someone selling you glass in the name of diamonds. Actually, everyone's cheating selling diamonds, because you can produce them very cheaply nowadays by putting carbon under pressure, but still they sell at a high price. Has very low resale value. Anyway, that was the example that Srila Prabhupada gave. If you're going to buy a diamond, you should have some preliminary knowledge of what you're looking for. Otherwise, you're going to be cheated. So the disciple has to see the prospective guru. The disciple has to surrender the guru. Without surrender, there's no guru-disciple relationship. But it's a big commitment. I have to see, is this person qualified to guide me? And this guru has to see if someone is approaching, are they qualified to be a follower? Are they ready to follow? You have to go through a test. Those who want to join a university, they have to be tested to see if they're qualified. Those who want to join the army, they're tested to see if they're qualified. It's not open to everyone. Well, in one sense, it's open to everyone. Just like the university is open to everyone, the army is open to everyone, theoretically. But then it has to be seen if they're actually fit to be admitted. And we should be careful. There are so many people calling themselves gurus. But we are warned by Lord Shiva, Bahavo Guruvo Santi Shisha Vittapaharaka Durlabo Sadguru Devi Shisha Santapaharaka. There are many so-called gurus who are very expert in taking away the money of their disciples. But it's very rare to find a real guru who does what a real guru is supposed to do, which is to take away the distress of the disciples. Why is it rare? Surely we would want to, anyone who wants to approach a guru must be approaching to get rid of their distress. But many people think my distress is because I don't have enough material happiness. And so they go to a guru who promises material happiness. But to approach a true guru means to approach someone who is going to cut our material attachments. Venkateshvara. We're in the place of Venkat. So Veen means sin, and Kat means who cuts. So the guru acting on behalf of Venkateshvara, he cuts even the tendency to sin by giving spiritual knowledge and a program of activity called sadhana, on which to act in such a way that we become purified. It's a very serious exchange. There are many popular gurus. Who are the big gurus on YouTube? Usually the ones who can laugh and tell jokes. Of course, laughing and telling jokes is not outside the range of possibilities for a guru, but that's not his qualification. His qualification that he teaches. You can teach by telling jokes, sometimes, not all the time. It's not a joking business. Surrender to a spiritual master means the disciple has to be ready to follow. And the guru has to know what to instruct, what to follow, so that we can get out of this material existence. It's very hard to get out because it's very hard to understand even what is going on in this world. How am I stuck here? What am I doing here? Narupa masyeha tato palabhyate nanto nachadya nacha sampratishtaha ashvatamenam suviruda mulam asanga shastrena judhena chitva. What is this material world? It's like a great banyan tree. Where does it begin? Where does it start? Where's the beginning? Where's the end? You can't work it out, but you just have to cut your way out by detachment. That's the only way to get out. So the Guru gives the sword of knowledge by which we can cut out of this big tangle of material existence. And such a guru is to be respected as good as God by the worshipping and respectful student, as good as God in the respect that he gives knowledge as good as God. This should be understood properly. He gives knowledge that Krishna has given. It's not just a matter of reading a book. One has to hear and follow. One who doesn't give the knowledge that Krishna gives is not a true guru. And nor, without having the spirit of surrender in full faith that this person is competent to guide me on the path to Krishna, without that, nor is the disciple is not a disciple. It's all a sham. So this has to be accepted, as we learn from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshad Dharitvena Samasta Shastraya Uktastatha Bhavyata Eva Sadbihi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Eva Tasya Vandegaro Sri Charana Aravinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is very dear to the Supreme Lord. Dear, how is that? Nachatasman Manusheshu Kaschit Me Priya Krita Maha. One who is speaking the message of Krishna, by that becomes very dear to Krishna and is to be respected as good as God for this reason. Just as Krishna delivered Arjuna from ignorance by speaking knowledge, the Guru delivers the disciple from ignorance by giving knowledge. Then we have yasya prasadad bhagavad prasado yasya prasadanagati katopi dhyang stuvang tasya yashastri sandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one attains the mercy of Krishna. If we don't get the mercy of the spiritual master, whatever else we may do, we're not going to get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we should remember the Guru at least three times a day to keep us properly on the path, the difficult path. Durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. It's a difficult path back to Godhead. We should all take to that path, but it's a difficult path. The Guru is there to guide us. We have so many facilities to help us cross over the ocean of material existence, as Lord Krishna speaks in the Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Napasvata. Guru Karna Dharam. How does that verse begin? Nah. Nridehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavan sukalpo guru karna dharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim nataret saatmaha. In human life we have the physical body, gross body and subtle body suitable for getting out of material existence. It's like compared to a boat which is suitable for crossing the ocean of material existence. We have, if we're fortunate, we'll get a guru who is like a captain or a helmsman competent to guide the boat across the ocean. We have the Shastra, Krishna's instructions, which are like favorable winds for crossing the ocean. with all these advantages, if we don't cross over the ocean of material existence, it is as if we are killing ourselves. So the guru is to be respected as good as God. When Srila Prabhupada first gave initiation in the West, prior to doing so, he had again and again told the newcomers who were gathered around him that the guru is not God, because at that time there were several bogus people from India propagating in America that they themselves, the gurus, the so-called gurus, were God. So Srila Prabhupada was very much against this, and he preached, the guru is not God, Krishna is God. Then when he gave initiation first, the disciples asked, what does it mean to be a disciple? And Srila Prabhupada says, to accept the guru as good as God, which seemed to completely contradict whatever he had told. But there's a subtle distinction between accepting the guru as God and accepting the guru as good as God. And a bona fide guru will never say, I am God, nor will he allow himself to be called God by his disciples. There used to be, especially in this state in India, a popular rascal, cheater, bogus. Well, he was from this area, but he camped near to Bangalore. But yeah, that's in Andhra Pradesh also. He would say, they used to call him Bhagawan. And I would say, look, this rascal, he's calling himself. No, he doesn't call himself Bhagawan. His disciples call him Bhagawan. But to allow your disciples to call you God directly is another kind of rascaldom. So there are gradations of guru. They're all to be respected, because they all help us. The true guru who gives true spiritual knowledge is to be respected as good as God. That's a long way up from the mother and father who simply teach us to walk and talk. Of course, if the mother and father teach us about Krishna, that's most favorable. But it shouldn't go beyond that. There are levels of respect, but it shouldn't go beyond the respect that is due to a guru and say, well, actually, he's God himself. In the early days of this movement, when Srila Prabhupada had just made some sannyasis, and some of them were saying that Prabhupada is directly God himself, Prabhupada threw them out of the movement. He told them, get out. Well, he said they could go on preaching, but he wouldn't allow them in any temple. He threw them out with no money, only the clothes they had on their bodies and a bead bag, and that's all. He refused to accept that they would call him God. So we should respect to the level that it's due. And we can learn from Shastra what level is due. Because generally in this material world, we're in this material world because we want everyone to respect us. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Trinadapi Sunicheno, Torori Vasaishana, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadar Harihi. Amanina Manadena means that one should not be eager to be respected. One should be eager to give respect to others. So we should approach the true guru, means a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, gururna sat, Vaishnava svapacha guruhu. If someone is not a Vaishnava, shatkarma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharadaha. I just said it. A Vaishnava, I just said it, yeah. A Vaishnava guru nasyat. Even if someone is very learned in the Shastra and knows all the karma kanda and everything, but he's not a Vaishnava. He can't be a true guru. And a Vaishnava from the lowest possible background, he must be a guru just by being a Vaishnava. So we have to see, according to guru, sadhu, and Shastra, who is a guru, who is a disciple, and not be misled by all this cheapness going on in the name of guru and disciple. It's a very serious commitment. There are many gurus in India and now overseas also who do teach little bits and pieces of Vedic knowledge. They may intersperse their babble with some Vedic quotes, but their teachings are not solidly based on Shastra, nor do they even give the understanding that the teaching should be solidly based on Shastra. Often we see that the gurus are interested in getting more and more followers, more and more money, making some big projects. But Bhavo Guruvo Santi Shisha San Vitta Paharaka. Beware of gurus there are many such gurus whose main interest is taking the money from the disciple. Or they may teach something which seems spiritual. How many so-called gurus are there who teach about living in harmony with nature, dynamic thought, self-actualization? They're expert at speaking in all kinds of platitudes, which mean nothing. There's nothing practical to understand. Srila Prabhupada taught the practical reality that we are not the body. We are spiritual beings. We're not meant to be in this material world. There is the supreme controller who is Krishna. We have to surrender to Krishna through the medium of a guru. So people may talk about all these things, meditation, contemplation, mindfulness, self-actualization, so many things. But where does it take us to? It takes us punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, back to another womb. We might get born in the womb of some bogus yogini, but that won't help us. And then there are so many gurus, they collect money and they do drinking water projects. I was talking about that one who used to allow himself to be called Bhagawan. He was close to this area. He, by collecting money, he had huge amounts of money. And one of the things he did was to build a super specialty hospital and to arrange drinking water supply for the whole of Anantapur district. One of the neighboring districts, this is Chittur district. I believe it's a neighboring district, is Anantapur district. So he arranged drinking water to be piped in. If he was actually God, he'd just send enough rain. That's all. So people think, well, he's very good. No. Every good thing you do is cancelled out by the offense of allowing yourself to be called Bhagavan, to be worshipped as if God. So all these things, opening orphanages, old age homes, education for the poor. It's not the business of gurus to do this. It may be on the side, some of their followers do it. But the real duty of a guru is Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, to open the eyes of the disciple to spiritual knowledge. He should be able to solve the problems. What are the problems? There's not enough water in Anantapur district. Solve the problem. Arrange for water to be piped in. That is not the solution. Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyaj, janani na sasyat, daivang na tatsyan na patishna chasasyat, namoche adya samupeta mrityum. One should not be a guru, or one should not be considered a guru, if he cannot deliver the disciple from birth and death. Guru na sasyat, one shouldn't take a position, any respectable position, as an uncle, aunt, father, mother, worshipable deity, unless he can deliver from the disciple from birth and death. But this so-called guru business is going on. The disciples, they don't even want to get free from birth and death. They may not even know that that's their real problem. Therefore, we are enjoined, tasmad gurum prapadyate jignyasu shreya uttamam. When you've seen, when you have this realization that everything in this world is useless, then you should approach a guru who can teach you to get out of the material world. Everything is useless, then why are we building temples? Why are we recording this lecture using all material facilities? Everything in this world is useless if not seen in a relationship with Krishna, because everything is related to Krishna. The guru gives spiritual knowledge and he acts according to spiritual knowledge. A sense enjoyer cannot be a guru. That should be obvious, should be obvious. But you see, so-called gurus, they're busy driving motorbikes, big motorbike for fun. What is that? Just for instance. Just as an example, one of the most notorious so-called gurus in the 20th century died from AIDS, which wasn't surprising because he copulated with so many of his female so-called disciples. He was promoting, have plenty of sex. A rascal. Simply rascal. The real standard is vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasto vegam etan vegam yovishaheta dhira sarvam apimang prithivin sashishyat. Minimally, the gurus should be seen, his behavior controls his speech and mind, and anger, and tongue for eating and tongue for speaking, controlled, doesn't pack his belly, eats moderately, not too much, not too little. He controls his sexual organ. Such a person, Rupa Goswami says, is fit to make disciples all over the world. That's minimum. course, he should give spiritual knowledge also. To take up the service of a bona fide guru might mean leaving behind some so-called gurus. That's often an obstacle for people in India. I'm already initiated by so-and-so, someone who's bogus. Or it may mean that the parents are against us, the brothers are against us. But if they're against our taking to Krishna consciousness, you have to leave them behind. Go on. Accept the spiritual master who accepts disciples for the sake of benefiting them. That's the only reason a guru should accept disciples. Well, he does so on the order of his own guru, but he should do so to benefit the disciple, not for any personal benefit. So be careful of bogus gurus, cheating gurus, and accept someone who teaches us. Jive Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.